Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation.
It's only just a matter of...
Afternoon. You are listening to Middays with Susie Larson on Faith Radio. As you may know, I am not Susie Larson. My name is Erin Ekstrand. I'm so thankful to have the opportunity to sit in for Susie this week. I know she would welcome and cherish your prayers for she and her husband, Kevin. As you know, she has ministry not only through radio, but she is an author, a speaker, a teacher. And they are really taking some dedicated time this week to seek the Lord together and seek his discernment and his guidance on what this next year, this next season of ministry is going to look like for them. And so prayer warriors, if you would be praying for them, I know she would so appreciate that. But in the meantime, we are going to have some really powerful conversations. And I'm looking at, for our guest today, I wonder, have you ever written a manifesto? I mean, that's a big word in itself. Have you ever thought of writing something like that? Well, our guest today has done that. It's a parenting manifesto, and even more specifically, a boy mom manifesto. She says, I am a boy mom. My greatest goal as my son's mom is to raise him to be fully prepared to launch into the world as a man in every positive sense of the word. As a boy mom, I am committed to investing in my son daily. I will. And then she lists out 12 beautiful commitments as a mom of boys. And I'm not going to read all of them, but let me read just a couple. I will set the boundaries and allow the freedoms I believe to be best for my son, regardless of pushback from him or pressure from others. With God's help, I will discipline fairly, lovingly, and consistently. How about this? I will help my son establish a secure identity based on God's love for him and unique design for his life. And I will focus on building noble character traits in myself and my son. Those are just a few of the commitments that she has listed in this Boy Mom Manifesto. Now, before we even go to our guest, I want to do a little caveat here. If you hear the term boy mom and you say, well, that's not me, maybe you're the father of a boy, the grandparent of boys, or perhaps you invest in the lives of young men as an aunt or an uncle, a coach, a teacher, a youth leader, please stay with us because I think you're going to find this conversation to be so beneficial and so fruitful for you. And also, if you're the parent or grandparent of girls, there's going to be some specific things that we talk about that may be more specific to the heart and the motivations of boys. But I really think that if you are a parent of girls, you're going to be encouraged in this conversation as well. So let me get to our guest. I want to introduce her and let's get this conversation going. Monica Swanson is the author of Boy Mom, What Your Son Needs Most From You, and popular blogger who has contributed to the Today Show website, Huffington Post, and the MOB, or M-O-B, Mothers of Boys Society. Host of the Boy Mom podcast, Monica enjoys speaking at women's events and has been interviewed in numerous media outlets, including the Happy Hour with Jamie Ivey and Don't Mom Alone podcasts. Monica and her doctor husband have one son in college and homeschool the other three. They reside on the north shore of Oahu, Hawaii, where they enjoy growing tropical fruit and supporting their son's competitive surfing. Monica, welcome. Aloha.
Aloha. Great to be here.
Oh, so good to have you with us. I can't wait to unpack this book a little bit for our conversation. But first, I want to start with tradition that Susie has that I think is so important, and that is to start every show with scripture. So I'm wondering, do you have a life verse, or is there a passage of scripture that you've kind of been noodling on lately?
Oh, yes, so many. I think that for the sake of this conversation, I'll share the two verses that really have hung with me through writing this book and now sharing it with the world.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, Ephesians 5:15 is just so much my heart for the book. It just says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, because the days are evil. And sometimes that verse can almost sound daunting or negative, but I think we need to know the bad news so that we know what we need to do. And
yes,
as parents, we need to face the fact that this world is not our home and this world is not our children's home.
Mm-hmm.
And with that in mind, we must be wise. And then the other verse that I just love and cling to for my own children is 3 John 1:4, which is, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's with one son away at college and hearing from him and hearing all that he's doing. That has just been such a fulfilled prayer for me so far, one out of the house and walking in the truth, and just the joy that that brings me. There is no greater joy.
Oh.
So I just love that verse.
Well, that is why we asked that question. Thank you for that. Those are both beautiful and, yeah, so pertinent to what we're going to be talking about today. Mm. Now, Susie, I know, would have loved talking with you, Monica, because she is also a boy mom. She has three grown sons, and I know you guys would have had an amazing conversation of all that you've learned raising boys. But I'm selfishly glad that I get to be the one to talk with you and read the book, because I'm also a boy mom. But I'm on the other end of the spectrum. I have a little love who is between 2.5 and 3. He's going to be 3 in November. So it was such a gift for me to read your book at this point in my parenting journey, because, to be honest, there are times where I am overwhelmed thinking about all the things that I'm supposed to be thinking about as a parent. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes, been there.
Oh, man, and you've done such a beautiful job of consolidating and putting laser-like focus on 12 key areas that we can be focusing on as parents. It's so well-read. I mean, you were listing so many different sources and books and articles, and I think, boy, I'd love to read that, but boy, if I never get to, I'm so glad Monica did, and she told me the best of the best in what she's
sure
written. So thank you, mahalo, for this gift.
Yes, thank you. Of
this book. And I do want to mention, too, we have 4 copies of this book that we're going to be giving away, and we would love to put one of those in your hands, friends. So if you would like to be in the drawing, there are 2 ways you can enter that. One is through email, and that is just to middays@myfaithradio.com. middays@myfaithradio.com. Put boy mom in the subject line, and then be sure to include your name and your mailing address so that we know where to send the book if you are chosen in that drawing. The other way to enter is via text, and that is to this number, 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. Same thing, be sure to include boy mom so we know that's the drawing you want to be a part of. You list your name and your mailing address. So want to get that out there, because I'd love to get this book in your hands. It is such an amazing resource. All right. Well, before we jump into the content a little bit, Monica, we had a short bio on you, but I'm wondering, can you just give us a little more of a snapshot of your family? Tell us about your boys and their ages and how you came to write this book as well.
Sure, yes. Well, my husband and I are both transplants from the Pacific Northwest.
Okay.
And so we are both Oregon and Washingtonians, but we've been in Hawaii for 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we moved here for my husband's medical residency program, which I thought was a 3-year stay. But by the end of 3 years, he had a surfboard in his hand and said, no, we don't want to leave this place.
Oh.
So at that point, by the time he finished his residency, we had 3 sons.
Oh,
each.
Wow.
2 years apart. So those, if you read the book, you'll hear some stories of those early years. And
mm-hmm.
I think oftentimes moms face those years where not only do they have young children, but oftentimes it's the most stressful season in a marriage,
yes.
In, you know, work life. For me, it was my husband's training, which was relentless, took, you know, most of his time,
mm-hmm.
being in a new place. Oftentimes we've moved when our kids are young. And so it was some really lonely, really trying years. And yet I look back and say I wouldn't trade them for anything now, because I know that's when I really dug in spiritually, where God became all I had. And I really learned to depend on him in a new and deeper way. So those were rich years, and probably what this book was birthed out of. However, 6.5 years after that third son, we were starting to see the fruit of our labors and our prayers, and said, you know, this is really fun. Let's see if we can have one more baby. I was about to turn 40, and we thought, why not? And who knows, maybe we'll get a girl. Somehow we thought enough years had gone by.
Yeah.
And even though my husband's a doctor, knows that there's no formula, we just mm-hmm. thought, who knows? And 9 short months later, son number 4 was born. And so he's the most boy of the bunch.
Is
he's a wild one.
Oh.
He's a ton of fun. But he just finished off our 4-boy life here. And now we moved out to the country about a year after he was born, which kind of put us in a position to homeschool, because we don't have a whole lot of options where we live.
Mm-hmm.
And so kind of gave us this, we had been homeschooling anyways, but it solidified that choice. There was kind of no going back at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, now we're out here in the country. All my boys are surfers. It just comes with the territory. We live in kind of the surf capital of the world, the 7-mile miracle, they call it, 7 miles of just beautiful surf beaches.
Wow.
And my third and fourth son are both competitive surfers, my third son being really headed towards the professional level. He has sponsors and travels the world and all that kind of stuff. But it's a really fun life. We've got school and we've got surfing, and then I slip away to do what I do and just feel so blessed to be able to share it with the world.
Oh, well, thank you for that. And the ages of your son now, they're raging in 20, is your oldest?
Okay. Right. My oldest just turned 20. He's a sophomore at Westmont College in Santa Barbara, California.
Okay.
And then my 18-year-old graduated, but he is doing a gap year like his big brother did.
Yes.
So he'll be pouring into his college applications, and he's working and just being really helpful, thankfully, around here. He drives my younger boys around. And then the third son is 15, and then the little guy just turned 9 the beginning of summer.
And I so appreciate that you shared that, you know, in the age of the boys, that you're saying, you know, I've gotten one to 20, but I've also got a little one that I'm still in the parenting trenches with you, you know,
yes,
in the elementary age.
On my toes. Yes.
Well, we're going to take a break in just a minute here, but before we do that, you use a term in the book that I think is so powerful, and it's very descriptive, but I'm wondering if you can unpack it a little bit, and that is the term upstream parenting.
Absolutely. Yes, I just look around and see a culture just moving quickly in a direction that I believe is quite contrary to God's best for our families and for our children and for our boys. And so I've just found through my experience and research that if we don't do some upstream parenting, if we don't set out to intentionally choose that we're going to parent our kids God's way, then we don't have a whole lot of chance in getting them where we hope they will be. It's not going to happen by chance. There has to be intentional effort. And we as parents are given that gift, that privilege, and yet that responsibility. And so though God is sovereign and he can do miracles, I've heard great stories, and also to keep in mind our kids do have a free will. There's no guarantees, and I understand that. I've seen families do everything they know to be right and still have a child choose to turn away. But I do believe we have a lot of opportunity in our parenting to turn our kids' hearts towards the Lord, to make decisions while they're in our care, to set boundaries and move them in a way that will most likely get them to a place where they have an open heart, a tender heart towards the Lord, and a lot of great character qualities as well.
Thank you so much for unpacking that. I think that was so important, and that really helps set the groundwork for what we're going to be talking about the next rest of the hour. So we're going to take a quick break here, and when we come back, we're going to talk about how that upstream parenting applies when we're setting boundaries, freedoms, and the D word, discipline, with our sons. I'm Erin Ekstrand, and we'll be right back on Middays. From Kim Hill, I Love You Up to the Moon, song from a mama's heart to her son. And we're talking about raising sons today. I'm Erin Ekstrand, sitting in for Susie Larson, and have the privilege of talking with Monica Swanson, who is the author of Boy Mom, What Your Son Needs Most from You. We do have 4 copies of this book that we are going to be giving away, and would love you to be a part of this drawing. This is definitely a book that I'm going to reference as a parent for many years to come. And my poor husband has heard me in that Boy Mom book. You remember, I was just reading in that Boy Mom book. Melissa's already is probably tired of hearing it, but I have so enjoyed it. So if you want to be in that drawing, again, email middays@myfaithradio.com, text 877-933-2484. And when you do that, put Boy Mom as the subject, and be sure to include both your name and your mailing address. Well, Monica, I want to jump in. One of the chapters that just really resonated with me was about boundaries and freedoms and discipline. And you really make the case that our boys need those boundaries in order to feel secure. But hopefully, if we're doing what we need to be doing, the number of those boundaries and the nature of those boundaries will change as they get older. Can you talk more about that?
Sure, yes. Well, I think, like you said, boundaries do bring a boy a sense of security, even though he probably won't want to show it, whether he's a toddler or a teenager. it does bring them a sense of security. And yes, when they're young, the main boundaries we need to set are physical. We just need to keep those boys alive and out of the emergency room.
Yes.
I think that there's, yes. And yet they need the freedoms as well. So I think there's always going to be that fine balance between letting that little guy find places where he can safely run and climb and explore and do all the things a little boy's body needs to do to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And then as they get older, and as our world changes, the nature of the boundaries we set will also change. Of course, there's social boundaries. You know, we need to be really aware of the influences in our kids' life, and that ranges across so many different areas. But friendships, the people they spend time with, are going to absolutely be a big part of molding and shaping them, whoever mm-hmm. they spend time with. And then, of course, we have to acknowledge that there's technology, and there's screen time, and there's games, and there's social media, and these are all things, too, that will have an impact on our sons, and we need to set boundaries that are appropriate for their age, for their maturity level, and within those boundaries, yes, let's give them freedoms, let's let them feel some autonomy, but boundaries are key.
Mm-hmm.
They just absolutely are.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things you talk about this chapter, too, that I really appreciated was the value, an unexpected value of no. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I thought that, oh, gosh, that was so key when you wrote about that.
Yes, I am a big believer in this. And the more and more as I hear from moms who are being brave to try no where maybe they weren't before, I just believe that so often a child will come to us asking for something. And oftentimes it's something that we feel a bit of peer pressure maybe from because the other parents are letting their kids do it.
Mm-hmm.
Or the kids act like it's something they so want to do. But deep down, oftentimes our kids don't feel ready for things, even if they're asking. And so whether it's when they're little asking to sleep over at a friend's house or whether it's going to a movie or to a party, and I say in the book that I think a lot of teenagers are quite happy staying home with mom and dad and watching Netflix on a Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
If we say no to that party or that social setting that they act like they want to go to, but if we feel in our gut that it's wrong, if it's going against something that we stand for, if we say no, then later we're probably going to find out that they felt such security in knowing that mom and dad knew what was right.
Yeah.
And that they could trust us to say yes and to say no, and that gives them such a sense of strength and security.
Mm-hmm. I love that example you give, too, of asking to do a sleepover when, you know, your mm-hmm. son will approach you knowing that you're going to say no, and it almost helps him save face by
yeah.
going and asking mom, hey, mom, can I do this sleepover? And you could say, nope, we don't do sleepovers at our house.
Exactly. Yes, it works. I learned that from a mentor friend of mine, and mm-hmm. I've used it ever since, and I'm so glad I have.
Oh, I think that is great. Just to have that sense of, and they may push back a little bit at first. They may be
sure.
like, oh, mom, but I, you know, my parents use the line, let me be the bad guy. Let me
yeah.
be the bad guy. And I think that's
mm-hmm.
okay. That's we're as parents, we're big enough to take that. You know, I think sometimes
yeah.
we can feel the pressure, like you talk about, from other parents.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're going to do that upstream parenting, then sometimes we just need to be the bad guy because we know in our gut that the Lord has given us this insight that this is what's best for our son in this situation.
That's right.
Absolutely. Well, you also say, which I think is so powerful, actually, I am convinced that if more boys had the chance to experience healthy adventures, far fewer boys would be seeking adventure in unhealthy places. Can you unpack that for me?
Sure. Yes. I just have such a strong conviction, and I was happy to find, you know, a bit of research out there proving this very thing, that the kids who are getting out and getting in nature, finding even ways to challenge themselves mentally, you know, we can be challenged in so many different ways, but it's when kids get bored, when they don't have appropriate challenges, when they're not outside burning off the steam and getting good and tired, that they start seeking seeking adventure in places that are not safe. And so, you know, some people might say, oh, easy for you to say living in Hawaii. You know, my 9-year-old just went cave diving for the first time.
Well, that's
yesterday.
The thing. He's 9 years old. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And that actually terrified me. I didn't know until after the fact.
Probably a good thing that we didn't know until after. Oh, dear.
But that does limit the amount of time we need to spend fighting over whether or not he can play a video game because
mm-hmm.
they're outside, they're climbing, they're running, they're swimming. However, I do believe that we live in a world where no matter where you live, even if it's freezing cold in the winters, there are places, there are opportunities. I mean, there's even great books. My older sons have just become voracious readers in their older teenage years, and I think how great it is that they can fall into a wonderful adventure through a great novel,
mm-hmm.
and that satisfies something in them. So I think directing our kids to healthy adventures is a huge key to helping them avoid getting trapped in some of the unhealthy adventures that are out there online and elsewhere.
Yeah, and you definitely encourage finding age-appropriate opportunities
mm-hmm.
for risk-taking, but I'm just going to ask you, as a mama, you know, I'm at the stage right now where I am at the playground, and I'm making that decision of, okay, do I let him climb that? And if I do, am I nearby? Am I going to spot him? Or do I just let him fall? And I realize that those decisions get harder and harder and more complex as your sons get older. And I'm fighting that mama instinct in me to want to put a bubble around him and not let him get hurt, but also realizing we've got to let him take those risks and have those adventures and maybe fall a few times and learn from that. How have you navigated that? How do you ride that tension between wanting to protect but also wanting to let them have those wings and have those adventures?
Well, I do think that's something that probably comes with experience and with just asking God for discernment and wisdom. And another reason we need to be in the Word and in prayer every day, because mm-hmm. I do believe, you know, it says in James that if we lack wisdom, ask and He'll give it to us. And I really do ask each day for wisdom, because some of the choices we make are bigger and more have more serious ramifications than others. Also, I find that my husband is such a good judge of these things, and I need to trust him.
Mm.
And, you know, if you've got a good man in the home, then hopefully he can help you make the call, because us moms, we're typically going to go on the side of protecting.
Absolutely.
And if there isn't, and I know there's, you know, so many single moms or women raising kids with a husband who's not as involved as we'd like him to be, then oftentimes we can just find good role models, find somebody who's leading a sport that you can trust,
mm-hmm.
Who you can then pass off your son and know that he's in good hands.
Yes,
it comes with a lot of experience, and usually they can do a little more than we think they can.
Yeah.
He can go a little higher at the playground, he can
mm-hmm.
fall, and he's going to be okay.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. It's a good encouragement. Just keep pressing on, and I love that. Just God knows, and seeking him on what's appropriate. Well, we have a break coming up in just about 2 minutes or so, but I would love for you to talk to, this chapter also talked about discipline, and you talk about how it can be effective to use natural consequences or logical consequences for misbehavior once your son reaches elementary age. Can you clarify that?
Oh, for sure. Natural consequences are always the best. Typically, it takes a child of a certain age, you know, maybe early elementary, well, kindergarten maybe,
mm-hmm.
to really start to understand. But yes, when you can let something give the consequence for you, it's usually best. So if they make a choice to, you know, lose something, rather than replacing it right away, talking to them about what happened, why they lost that, and how they can be more careful, and then making them save up to replace it. Or if they forget their jacket, sometimes letting them be cold. That sounds so harsh, but
mm-hmm.
at a certain age, you don't want to rush to school or wherever they are to bring them the thing that they forgot again and again.
The homework or the
homework. Rescuing them in the late night before something is due. And so natural consequences, when they are there, usually do the best job of teaching a good lesson.
Such a good word. Thank you for that, Monica. Well, I look forward to continuing our discussion. And after this break, I want to talk about something I know that is something very important and dear to your heart, and that's helping our boys establish an identity that is apart from what they do, but is firmly grounded in Christ. So we'll do that in just a minute. You're listening to Middays on Faith Radio. I'm Erin Ekstrand, and we'll be right back. Sherry Keggy there, a little boy on my knees. And isn't that the heart of our hearts as moms, raising our children, that they would be young men and young women who love the Lord, who love His Word, and who seek Him in prayer. And we're talking about parenting, raising sons today. I'm Erin Ekstrand, filling in for Susie Larson, and have the privilege of talking with Monica Swanson today. She is the author of Boy Mom, What Your Son Needs Most From You. Just a reminder, we are going to be giving away 4 copies of this great book and would love to include you in that drawing. You can do that either via email to middays@myfaithradio.com, middays@myfaithradio.com, or by texting 877 877- 1-800-933-2484 in either your email or your text. Please be sure to include both boy mom as a subject and then your name and your mailing address. So Monica, you know, I think of that prayer from Sherry Kagi, make my boy a little boy on his knees. And so much of being rooted and grounded in the Lord is also having an identity that is found in him. And that's something you talk about as well. Can you talk about just what that's been like for you as a mom? And you couch it in talking about your son surfing, which I thought was so effective.
Yes, well, I think that every boy and every human just has that question deep in their heart of do I matter and what makes me significant? And it's something I think we all wrestle with probably as long as we're on this earth. Mm-hmm. And yet in those growing up years, it can be just such a heavy, heavy question that sometimes I don't think boys know how to articulate even. I don't think they even really understand it, but they want to know what makes them matter. And this world's going to tell them so many things. It's going to give them labels. It's going to, you know, whether it's calling them names or raising them up on a pedestal, either way is going to be a changing truth. It's going to be just an opinion of man. And so I believe that helping our kids be grounded and rooted in a identity in who God says they are and why they matter in him is one of the greatest keys to raising a strong son who is ready to face the world one day. Because a boy who knows who he is in Christ is going to, all the other things that we think matter will probably fall into place when he knows who he is and that the God of the universe loves him so deeply. And it just opens every other door, I believe. And so this is something I think is worthy of a lot of time and energy and effort. My husband really taught me about this early on in our marriage. He had really wrestled with some of these truths himself, though he grew up in a wonderful Christian home. He was a soccer player, and his identity was so wound up in his soccer performance in college that it was a really big day when he kind of woke up and realized that his identity was tied to that. And so because of that, we've been really aware. And yes, my son, who's a competitive surfer, I just think it's such a perfect example because his identity is, he's a surfer. Mm-hmm. Anybody that looks at him, he's got surfer written all over him. He's got the,
you get the tan and the blonde hair, yeah.
Exactly. And he spends hours a day, whether he's out surfing or training to surf or studying surfing, and it's hard to say, okay, now this isn't who you are, because it's much of who he is. So I use that as an example because it's so easy to do, whether it's when we're young or whether it's when we have a job one day, to tie our identity up in what we do, what others say about us. And unless we are super, super grounded in the Word of God and meditate on the truths from God's Word, it's going to be a tough battle to really believe it. So I think we can't overdo it. We can't say too much who you are in Christ. We can't teach too many scriptures. And so we write down verses. We have him hang them on his wall, have him spend time each day meditating on them. And it'll never outweigh the amount of time he puts into serving, but we can hope that it's hitting that deep place in his heart.
Yeah, I love, too, that you mentioned, you know, there are boys like your son who has kind of found his thing that could be tempting to define himself by. But there are other boys, even in their teenage years, who haven't yet found things that would define them. And you give permission for that. You say, that's okay. And I so appreciate that because I think sometimes as parents, too, we wonder, oh, my goodness, my son hasn't found that thing yet, right?
Yes, for sure. And, in fact, that really is the more common reality. I think that there's a whole lot of teenage boys who are trying on different identities, who are trying on different sports, different hobbies. They don't know if they want to be an astronaut or, you know, an engineer or a school teacher. They're trying to figure out who they are, and sometimes it takes many years. So those kids probably most of all need to know that who you are is a son of the Most High God. You are loved, you are forgiven, you are cherished. And with all of those truths, a kid has the freedom then to say, I'm not sure what I'm going to do with my life. I'm not sure what I'm good at yet, and that's okay.
Yes. Well, and I love, too, just as an example of just one of the many practical resources you have in this book, you have a download and something called My Identity in Christ and have, you know, all of these things that are true about us in Christ. I'm accepted in Christ and verses and things that talk about who we are. This is just one example, but it's something you can download. Like you said, tape it to your son's mirror as he's brushing his teeth in the morning, as he's getting ready for bed. Those reminders, you share that, you know, almost ad nauseum, your boys are like, we know, Mom, right?
I know. I got it. And then we say it again. We remind them again. Because, they need it. Aww. They need it whether they say it or not. They need it. And we've learned from great role models. I mean, I mentioned Tim Tebow a few times in the book because I so appreciate people like Tim Tebow who set such a great example to the younger kids of saying, listen, you know, you can do great things. You can be a professional athlete. But in the end, it's God's approval that you want.
Yes. Well, and part of what they can focus on, too, especially if they haven't found that thing yet, is maybe working on developing their character. Instead of just being known as the guy who's really good at basketball, I'm the kind kid. I'm the one who's known to include those who are usually left on the outside. Or I'm someone who speaks the truth. I'm someone who keeps my commitments. I'm a loyal friend. And and you talk a lot about helping our sons develop their character as well, which I so appreciate. You actually had, God gave you kind of a creative idea when you were having an issue with one of your sons. Can you talk about that? Because I thought that was so good.
Sure, yes. Well, I think we can focus all we want on character when kids are young, but oftentimes they hit those teenage years and a combination of, you know, hormones and and influences. Sometimes we hit that place where we realize that their character's starting to turn sour. And we had one of those where one of our boys was just kind of going through a season where it felt like everything was a bit critical and negative, and he would walk in the room and everybody would kind of hold on tight for what was coming. And so after a lot of prayer and talking to my husband about what in the world, I'm ready to go extreme here. Like, do we send him away to some, you know?
Boot camp?
Yes. And I was like, it's just his character. He wasn't doing anything terrible. I just was, and not only not liking how it affected our family, but fearful for what that could look like if it went unchecked into his future. So, yes, I sent this son on an assignment. I felt like the Lord just gave it to me one day where I handed him a journal, and I found a list of just things either I was listening to, podcasts, websites, a few TED Talks I had, you know, used in different blog posts I had written, and I just said, listen, every day we're going to add a 30-minute thing to your day called character training. It wasn't real original, but I said, in addition to your devotions and your schoolwork, you may have to set your alarm early or stay up late, but I want you to spend 30 minutes just doing something that is really focused on character training. And in this journal, I want you to write the date, what you did, you know, what source you're looking at, and then at least one nugget you got from that talk. And at first there was the whole, wait, are the brothers doing this? And I said, no,
not
I'm sorry.
There.
No, this is something we're dealing with you, and you're going to do this. If they are dealing with it, I'll have them do it when it's their time. And the first few days, there might have been a nugget or two written down, but after a week or two, there were full pages of notes. This then took off. It was like something clicked in him. And now, to this day, around his desk, there are note cards and writing of quotes and verses, and he's also become, you know, a great reader. And he's the one now telling me, oh, Mom, you have to listen to this podcast. And he's listening to great theologians and reading great books. And I just think that all really began with this assignment. And though I can't take full credit, I really have watched this son transform into a young man who is just rich in character.
Oh, I love that. And again, that upstream parenting, you knew you'd get some pushback from him.
Mm-hmm.
And others may look at that and go, whoa, that's pretty extreme. But you were willing to take to draw that line and take that step and say, God has revealed this is something in my son's character that needs this addressing, and I'm going to do this. And it's really helped impact who he is as a young man.
Yes. And I just said, as long as you're in my home and I have the ability to direct you, this matters to me as much or more than your grades in school, or whether, you know, if you have to pull a child from a sport because this is something to focus on. We only have a few years with them in our care. So I say, do what you got to do.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Strong mama. That's so good. Well, another area that we need to be strong in as parents that can be very difficult is the issue of technology. And I'm wondering, as a mother of four boys, how do you manage all the technology demands and appetites that your teen boys have?
Right. Well, that is such a big topic. And, you know, I say I put more time into my one chapter on technology than any of the others. And yet I still felt frustrated at the end because it's constantly changing.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you figure one thing out, there's something new out there.
That's so true.
And so my biggest recommendation and what we really try to do as a family is focus on all the things that they can do without limits. Like I said, whether it's sports or reading books or just having fun being children, I say the less stuff you have in the area of technology, the less rules you need to set.
Yes.
So less is more. But yes, one day they're all going to face it. And my oldest son got a cell phone at 13, I think, and then the next one was a little later. And now my 15-year-old has a flip phone because we just realized these smartphones aren't doing these kids any good. So we're kind of getting a little more conservative with each of our boys. But yeah, I say whatever you give them, you got to be willing to do the work of knowing what they're doing. And so whether that means getting the filters, getting the parental controls, I don't like dealing with all that, so I don't want to have to deal with a whole lot of it. But if we're going to give them the opportunity to be on the internet, then we need to also be responsible to set up the boundaries there. And it's so hard as parents. We are digital immigrants. This isn't something most of us grew up with or understand, but we're raising digital natives, and we need to then be on our game. And it's a huge responsibility. So there's not one easy answer, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, I do appreciate you even talk about setting some ground rules, some rules that you've set in your family. Follow limits on set screen time. No devices in bedrooms at night. I hear a lot of people talk about that. No computers in the bedrooms or behind closed doors. Let those be out in the common areas. You only use apps that are approved by you as parents.
Yes.
And then no bypassing filters.
Right.
And you, again, have included so many helpful resources. You've got a list of organizations and sources that provide insight and information about different filters and different perspectives and philosophies, and even creating a technology contract with your kids, which is really helpful as well.
Yes.
So good. Well, we're going to take a little break here. When we come back, more with Monica Swanson, author of Boy Mom, What Your Son Needs Most From You. Again, if you want to be in the drawing for this awesome book, middays at myfaithradio.com or text 877-933-2484. Put Boy Mom in the subject and be sure to include your name and mailing address. And the heart that we have as parents for our kids, right? Helping them find those roots, but then ultimately having those wings to be able to go and be, in this case, as we're talking about boys today, those young men that God has created them to be. We're talking with Monica Swanson. She's the author of Boy Mom, What Your Son Needs Most From You. My name is Erin Ekstrand, and I have the privilege of filling in for Susie Larson today. And Monica, I appreciate, as we're talking about our kids finding those wings, one of the things that you say is important is helping our sons understand the value of work as well as money management, which is something we don't talk about all the time. Can you unpack that a little, because I think it's so important?
Sure, yes. And I confess in the chapter of my book, actually throughout the book, that there's going to be areas that all of us find more natural.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be areas that moms are like, oh, I got this. This is what I was made for. And yet there's other areas that we tend to just overlook. And hopefully that's what this book will do, is help people find some blind spots.
Yes.
And encourage you in the areas you're already doing well. But when it comes to this thing, especially the money management, I love to raise little boys who love to work. I love to give them the jobs and see them rise up and feel so satisfied at a job well done. And I think that all starts with chores when they're little, starts with giving them projects and jobs that come alongside the family and work, and also get outside of the family and serve others together as a family.
Yes.
So that's stuff I just love. But when it comes to the topic of money management, it's just not something I've ever been real interested in. You know, I'm not somebody that just has spent a lot of time studying what goes on out there.
You're not a Dave Ramsey guru.
Right. And so I confess in the book that it was, you know, by the grace of God, my oldest son took a gap year, and it was during that gap year that I felt like I was really given a second chance, because it occurred to me that I hadn't properly prepared this son, and that school doesn't typically properly prepare boys either.
No.
And we were heading to sending him to college, and I just had kind of a wake-up call where I went, wait a minute, we need to talk about these things. And for what I don't feel prepared to give you, I want to direct you to some resources that will help prepare you. And fortunately, this oldest son, he's always been a math guy and loves numbers. And as soon as he started understanding a little bit about the world of money and finance, he took off and started studying on his own.
Oh, good for him.
Met people that could help teach him more. But, yeah, I think that if we don't prepare our sons, if we send sons off into the work world or college or whatever else and they don't understand basic concepts, there's just companies out there that would love to get them started on debt as soon as possible. There's credit cards and
yes,
there's student loans, and there's some scary statistics out there about kids getting out of college and the amount of debt that they have. And so I think just having some really honest conversations with our kids, even if we don't know it all, directing them to the places where they can learn and grow and really be ready to be financially independent and responsible and hopefully support a family one day. Those are all my heart. So I've been really grateful to have kind of that opportunity, even though I felt like it was late in the game.
Well, and I so appreciate you talking about that gap year that your son had, because so often I think we feel the pressure and that expectation that our kids have to go right into four-year college. And you give permission, one, to say, and hear me, I'm a product of higher education, and I'm all for higher education, but that may not be everybody's story, and that may not be God's story for all of our kids. So to take a pause and to say, what is God calling me to? And you talk about for your oldest son that gap year was really transformative and changed the trajectory of his life.
It absolutely did. I think more than anything else in his educational years that changed him, and now to the point that my second son has chosen to do the same thing. And it's really exciting when you, and I think that giving yourself that permission to really embrace it, whether you go away and do a program, there's so many opportunities now for gap years, or my son this year is just staying home, he's saving a lot of money and focusing on those college applications. So that's a huge blessing if you look at it like one. And of course some kids can take a gap year and squander their time and get in a lot of trouble. So you have to know your child well and what's best for them.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you mentioned your first son, that he is now a sophomore at Westmont, and I know we've got some moms and dads listening who are maybe tearing up a little bit and have a little bit of an ache in their heart because they've just dropped off their son at college. How are you coping with that? What kind of encouragement do you have for those moms and dads?
Right. Well, especially to the younger parents listening, you know, I think the reason why our transition has been so positive is because we did invest such time into just enjoying that son while he was here.
Mm-hmm.
So I say do the work of loving your son well and really spending the time with him so that when that day comes to launch him, you don't feel like, wait, where did all the years go?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think by the time my son left, I felt like, you know what, Lord, I could keep him home forever. I wish I could. He's such a blessing to have around. But you know what? We've had our time, and he's ready. And so it felt really, really good knowing that he was so ready. The other thing that makes it easier today than ever is technology.
Mm-hmm.
I can send that son text messages. We can talk. We can FaceTime. I mean, he's across the ocean from us here in Hawaii. But I just find that there's so many ways to keep up these days that it really doesn't have to be terrible. I miss him, but it's not awful.
Well, and I love the story you tell of having him at orientation and kind of sitting in this parent and student event where he's sitting up in front and you're seeing him sitting next between this gal, you know, a guy and a gal, and just trying to catch eye contact just to let him know we're here, and realizing he's not looking for us. He's fine without us, and the twinge of that, but also the sense of satisfaction, right?
Yes, so many emotions in that moment, but you have to know it's a good moment. Even if you're convincing yourself over and
over. Exactly, exactly. Now you've got an ocean to fly home and be like, oh my goodness.
Oh, yes. Beautiful thing.
Oh, well, Monica, this is such an incredible book. And I was, as I was reading it again, I'm on the beginning stages of this parenting journey. And I looked at it and I want to say you are so gracious in how you wrote this. You're very authentic and you don't give this image that you've done it perfectly. You definitely say, we tried to do this consistently. It didn't happen every day, but this is what we aimed for, you know, so I so appreciate that. But it's a lofty goal, this upstream parenting that you've talked about. And as I read it, sometimes I felt like I was at the base of this huge mountain and I was looking up at the top going, how am I going to climb this? As I look at my son's life. But what came to mind for me and what I think what God brought to mind was two phrases from Scripture. And one was, give us this day our daily bread. from the Lord's Prayer. And the second was from John 15, where Jesus said, abide in me. And I really got this sense that we need to have that long-term vision that you are casting, but to remember that parenting is a one day at a time thing, and that no one knows and loves our sons more than Jesus. And he, if we are staying in tune with him, will show us what they need in terms of their character development, what they need in terms of our discipline, what they need in terms of our encouragement. And I hear you agreeing. I knew this would be something you agree with, but can you unpack that even more? I mean, has that been your experience as you've parented these four boys?
For sure. I was just going to say, when you talk about that mountain, the best way to climb it, of course, is one step at a time and abiding in the Lord. He does. He is so faithful. I think praying for our kids just is absolutely necessary as we're raising them, because he will shine that light on the character qualities. He will shine that light on something you might have completely overlooked that just tune you into, hey, go in and talk to him tonight. You know, go ask about this. And it all comes from the Lord. The wisdom he gives us is just blows my mind. But definitely, if we look at it as, you know, look at the top of the mountain, we'll be overwhelmed. But if we just look at today, what does that son need today? How can I connect with him today? The healthier your relationship with your son, the more automatic everything else will become. The easier it is to discipline a boy when he knows you love him, when he knows you're for him.
Yes.
And all the different things we have to do are going to just come really rest in a safe place when our sons know that they are loved deeply and that we are on their side. So I think that you got to just face one day at a time, and you got to trust God most of all and keep praying for those boys.
That's one thing I've learned more as a parent, that parenting is just about, if not even more about me than it is about my son, right? What God is doing in my life and our lives as parents and grandparents. Well, I know, Monica, that you wrote this book and tried to keep in mind all kinds of moms that are single, moms that are married, moms that are working, moms that are home. And I've got a mom in mind right now that is listening and has been listening to our conversation and has so appreciated it and valued all that we've shared. But as she's listened, maybe there's been a little bit of heaviness that has crept in and a sense of regret, because she identifies areas in her relationship with her son that maybe haven't been this way. What encouragement do you have to that mama?
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up, because that has been so much of my heart as I wrote the book. And there's even a resource, a link in the book to just a short post that I wrote for that mom on my website, just when you think it might be too late. And my real encouragement is, it's never too late. Mm-hmm. And I believe that so much of parenting is modeling. So much of what our kids get from us isn't about what we teach them. It's about what they see in us. So an authentic moment of coming to our kids and just saying, listen, here's where I think I've blown it. Will you forgive me? And I'm going to make some changes. Sometimes we need to say, hey, under new management, you know, when a restaurant or a store flips a sign and says under new management, it's like, I'm the same mom, but I'm recognizing some areas that really need to change. And it might not be easy for you or me for a while, but this is because of love. This is because I want what's best for you. We're going to make some changes. We might have to, you know, rewind a little bit and set some boundaries that we didn't have before. And if a mom feels convicted in her heart that she's made some mistakes, just to own that. I think kids get so much out of our authentically apologizing and repenting and saying, now watch me walk out the truth that I'm sharing with you. And whether it's going back to church or getting back into the Word or quitting some bad habits or making some changes, when they see that played out in our life, that is going to speak volumes to them over us just preaching at them or telling them what's right and wrong. So modeling, connecting, telling them we love them, and then not stopping.
Amen. That is such a good word to end on. Monica, thank you so much for this book. If people want to hear from you more, sign up to receive your emails and read your blog.
Sure.
It's monicaswanson.com. Is that correct?
That's right.
All right. And you'll also find some yummy recipes. I'm looking forward to make your Thai coconut soup here one of these days.
Excellent.
Well, thank you again for this book. Thank you for your ministry. And God blessings to you and your family as you live out in Hawaii and you enjoy your son surfing, but also just make such a difference in mom's lives. Thank you.
Thank you, and aloha.
Aloha. Well, thank you so much to Kim Sanders and Carissa Rogers, my amazing producers today. And the drawing is still open, so if you want to to be a part of the drawing for this book from Monica Swanson, again, send that email, middays@myfaithradio.com, or text 877-933-2484. Have a wonderful afternoon. God bless you. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Middays with Susie Larson. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can give a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player and never miss a show.